I'm going to talk today about discouragement. We all suffer from discouragement at one time or another. Maybe we're going through trials or sufferings or health issues, or someone has let us down, or the things we hoped for didn't come to pass. As it says in Proverbs 13, verse 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. You remember the disciples of Jesus Christ were discouraged after Jesus' death while he was in the grave. And he said it in Luke 24, verse 21. But we trusted that it had been he who should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. They were quite depressed. So how do we deal with discouragement? Please note that I'm not talking about clinical depression, which is entirely different matter. The first point to remember is that we must be honest with ourselves and with God. If you read David's prayer to God when he was discouraged, in Psalm 73, verses 12 to 16, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. Didn't seem to have changed anything. For all the day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of my children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. So he got very depressed about the way that the world was and the evil that was in the world. So the first thing we have to do is to go to God. We have to admit to ourselves and to God that we are having negative feelings. I quoted last week about Moses, who complained to God about the way that he was having to deal with the children of Israel. So we've got to be open with God. The second point is we've got to take care of the physical. Believe it or not, we are still human. We need to make sure we get enough sleep and the food we need and drink the water, enough water. Remember the example I gave of Elijah, the prophet, after killing the pagan prophets, had to run for his life from Queen Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab. The first thing he did after he'd fled into the wilderness was to sleep, and then he ate and drank before he set off to Mount Horeb to meet God. It says in 1 Kings 19, verse 4 to 8, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. So he was depressed and he lay under the juniper tree and slept. And then the angel touched him and said, arise and eat. And he looked and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And he obviously slept again. And the angel of the Lord came to him the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. And he rose and eat and drank and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights until he went to Horeb to meet God. So we have to pray, take action. If we're tired and we're hungry and we're exhausted, that opens the way for depression. So we must take care of these things first. Then, number three, pay attention to your thought life. All of us try to make sense of our situations and life in general. We tell ourselves about ourselves and others and situations. Are these things true? Thoughts are the roots of words and actions. Be careful how you think. turning again to Elijah the prophet, he thought he was alone serving God, that he'd failed in his tremendous witness to turn Israel back to God. And he said in 1 Kings 19, verse 10, I have been very jealous for the Lord of God of my hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, throw down your altars, and slain your prophets with a sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. But we know from Hebrews that Elijah was not alone. 7,000 people had refused to bow to the false religion, were serving God. So Elijah didn't really know the true situation. And the other thing is, we have to be positively minded. Philippians 4 verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if any praise, think on these things. That was what Paul said. We're supposed to control our thoughts through meditating and studying of God's word. It says in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. The other thing we've got to do is to train ourselves to see life out of two lenses at the same time. Now, what do I mean by that? It says in Romans 12 verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but ye be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our mind has to change. We have to learn to distinguish between this life, which can be very hard and random and painful, and the future eternal life which God has promised to us. Look at Paul's situation in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 and 9 and 16 to 18. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, the physical is perishing, yet the inward man, the spiritual, is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, this life, that is, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary. This life is only temporary, but the things which are not seen, the spiritual life, is eternal. Paul here talks about the trials that he went through daily and the glory he was looking forward to. He had the right focus on God's kingdom. That brings me to my final point. Press close to God when you're depressed. Remember, this life can be hard. People can disappoint and hurt us. We don't always understand what God is doing. But remember this in Nahum 1 verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows them that trust him. We have to remember God is our stronghold in the time of trouble. We have to learn to trust in God. If we don't trust God, life can be very unbearable. In Psalm 27 verse 13, David said, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Get close to God, that's what I say. Reading the Psalms is a very good way to stop into, to get into this, because David always opened his heart to God. He said what was on his mind. I find this really helps overcome discouragement. The best way to chase away negative thoughts and feelings is to try and serve God in some ways or serve other people in some ways and replace your negative thoughts with positive thoughts. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Be thankful to God. Gratitude beats out discouragement. Just say thank you.